I thought, let's just start in prayer this morning, shall we? Lord Jesus, we just pray for those that are unwell, that are connected with our church community in particular. Lord, we pray that your healing hand would be on them. Lord, that you would heal them from the flu, influenza, RSV, COVID, whatever it is, Lord, that they've got at this time. Lord, that you would protect them, Lord, and that you would protect each one of us. Lord, as this traditional season of flu and illness starts up again as we get into these cooler months, Lord, I just pray that you would, your hand of protection would be upon each one of us, Lord, that you would help us to do whatever it is that we need to do to keep healthy and well. Lord, for those others that aren't with us today, for whatever reason, we pray that your spirit would speak to them in a powerful way. Lord, just as your spirit will speak to us today in a powerful way. So be with us, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen. Let me start by reading Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hand. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. I like that little terminology there, refreshing the soul. The Lord is trustworthy. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold. They are more pure than gold. They are sweeter than honey, that honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant from willful sins. May they not rule over me, that I will be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. And then this psalm ends with this little prayer that you might have prayed many times before. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. But let's hear from James chapter 2 this morning.
G'day, folks. So we've got James 2, 14 to 26, some words hopefully to warm your heart. Faith and deeds. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, if you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Amen.
So if you've been away the last couple of weeks, you might be a bit shocked to see that we've jumped all the way to this morning to Doctrine 7. That's because we had bonus doctrines last week, and we covered three or so in one big hit because they all linked in perfectly. This morning we're looking at Doctrine 7. We believe that repentance towards our God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and regeneration by the Holy Spirit are necessary to salvation. You might look at this doctrine and wonder what faith without deeds is dead has to do with this doctrine. We believe that repentance towards God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and regeneration by the Holy Spirit are necessary to salvation. You might be wondering, where's this idea of works come into this? We're going to look at that in a little bit. But what this doctrine is basically saying, in a nutshell, is this is the road to salvation. This is how we get saved. And we join with almost every, or I think every other Christian church in believing that this is the way to be saved. This isn't something the church made up out of thin air. This idea, this road to salvation, repentance towards God, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit coming to make us new people, is something that Christian churches all over the world believe in. And as I said, it's not something we made up out of thin air. We get this directly from Romans. And in Romans, on this next slide here, we see this road to salvation all throughout Romans. And if you want these verses, I can give these to you later as well. But in Romans, we see this road to salvation. In Romans 3, it starts off by saying, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Then it goes on to say, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal. And how is this gift eternal? The fact that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then it has this verses of hope. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. These verses from Romans are what we call the road to salvation. You know, we believe that we've all sinned, we've fallen short of the glory of God, but because of Jesus and God's love for us, there is hope. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son Jesus, so whosoever believes may be saved. In essence, Doctrine 7 of the Salvation Army tells us that because of our sins, we must repent towards God and no one else. The way we do this is by putting our faith and complete surrender in Christ. And finally, our new life is made possible only by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This doctrine, for many people, is seen as the doctrine of salvation. But it's also more than that. Because Doctrine 7 is also a doctrine based around faith. Our belief in God, in Christ, and the Holy Spirit are all based on faith. Now, I think it would be fair to say that all who claim the title of Christian would agree in these two truths. Salvation is by grace alone, which we read in Ephesians chapter 2, and salvation is through Christ alone, which is in Acts 4. But we also know that the Bible in Hebrews 11 tells us that we must have faith in order to be saved. So what is faith? If you were to try and tell someone what faith is, how would you describe what faith is? Perhaps it's simply by saying that faith is believing and trusting. But our scripture today in James chapter 2 says that faith is something more than that. It says faith without works is dead. Faith, we say, is believing in something you might not be able to see, believing and trusting. But then we have this passage in James that says faith without works is dead. Is James saying that faith is also working? What does he mean when he says faith also involves some sort of work, perhaps? Is our salvation somehow connected to what we do? You know, it's interesting this morning, Anne mentioned something. I thought, oh, that's almost, I've got a little bit of about this. The Salvation Army, one of the things we're well known for is the fact that we put our belief in Christ into action. We're known as Christianity with sleeves rolled up, aren't we? We're known as doers, people that are out there doing things. We've got that catchphrase that has been around forever, thank God for the salvos. And when you see that catchphrase, thank God for the salvos, it's a picture of someone out there doing something, isn't it? During this time of Red Shield, when all the Red Shield ads are out, you see these salvationists out there helping someone, doing something. It's what we as the Salvation Army are known for. We're known as people that put our faith into action. We're known for what we do. For some people, they go as far as to say that, or they see us as the Salvation Army as people that are out there doing all this good work, which must mean that we're Christian people because we're doing good things. But what does the Bible teach us about our salvation? The Bible doesn't say that we need to be doing good things to be saved, does it? In Romans chapter 4, which will come up on the screen, it talks about Abraham justified by faith. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered on this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, if Abraham was saved by the good things that he did, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, he had faith, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham was justified by faith. Abraham wasn't justified or saved by the good works that he did. Salvation is by faith, not by doing good things. Perhaps this is part of the mission drift that the general was warning us about. The Bible teaches us that we are saved by faith. So what in the world is James trying to say here when he says that faith is dead if we don't do good works? James is looking at the person who says, I have faith. And he says, okay, well, if you have faith, if it is true saving faith, then I ought to see evidence of it, is what James is saying. He's simply saying, if your faith is genuine, then we should be able to notice a difference in your life. He's saying that he's saying that the faith that saves you will produce something good in you. You see, I think particularly with celebrities, you know, they often get up and receive an award or something and they say, I thank God for what he's done in my life. But I think sometimes with these celebrities, you have to wonder, don't you? Where's the evidence that God has really changed their life? I think that's what James is talking about here. What is the evidence that God has done something great in your life? The faith that James is warning us about is this empty professing faith, a phony or counterfeit faith. Saving faith can be recognized and identified by certain spiritual fingerprints. So James here, when warning about this fake sort of faith, gives us this illustration. He says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary, what use is that? James is saying that Pontus cliches, mere church talk, or even just faithfully attending church every Sunday is not evidence of a saving faith. James is saying it's not good enough to say, I will pray for you because I know the Lord will provide. James is saying that as children of God, we need to do something. See, you cannot say we're a child of God, obedient to him, faithful to his son, and moved by the Holy Spirit if we live like heartless individuals. Now, this doesn't mean that we should give to every individual and organization that asks for money. There's some common sense and balance that we need to have as well. In fact, the Salvation Army has even moved to a model of welfare where we no longer just give a handout to every single person that asks. We're more about that hand up, trying to change the circumstances of someone's life so that they don't need to rely on a handout anymore. I get encouraged and when I hear stories of people supporting people, but no one knows what they're doing. Those sort of stories are things that encourage me. But James is saying is that the faith that saves, this road to salvation that that Paul talks about in Romans, the faith that saves, this saving faith must produce something. James is talking about the fruits of our faith, if you like. He's saying that you can't just be saved and go about life like nothing ever happened. He's basically saying, if you're saved, your faith should be evident for other people to see. I could have this morning gone on and I was going to go on and talk about the fruits of the Spirit because they're evidence of that faith in our lives. You know, people should see goodness on display, should see faithfulness and patience and all those sort of things. This faith of works that James talks about isn't just about helping someone. Because he's also talking about those other fruits of the Spirit that other people should see in our lives. But this morning, I just want to end with this. What is it about your faith that is visible to other people? How do others know that you are a follower of Christ? By just observing you. What change has Jesus made in your life that other people can see? In order to be saved, we must repent towards God. We must have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we must allow the Holy Spirit to renew us. And in this renewing, we must allow these changes in our lives to be evident to others, so that this good faith will, so that our faith will produce good fruit, so others can see. Let me pray. Our Lord Jesus, this morning, as we've just really quickly looked over this doctrine, our Lord, I just pray for each one of us that we might look at this ourselves in our own personal time in a little bit more detail. Lord, that each one of us might just spend some time reading over James chapter 2 ourselves and wrestling with this idea of faiths and works and deeds, Lord. And we would learn for ourselves what it means to put our faith into action. We pray that the Holy Spirit would guide us and change us so that other people can see the difference that your love has made in our lives. But Lord, I don't only pray this for us corporately, individually, but I pray for this for us corporately as well as the Salvation Army. Lord, you've called us as the Salvation Army to be a Christian movement. And we've been reminded again by the General that this is our calling. Lord, that you've called us to be more than something of a charity. Lord, but you've called us to be a faith movement. So Lord, help our faith to be evident in all we do as a corporation, Lord, as a church as well, Lord Jesus. Lord, this I pray in your name. Amen. And now to the one who can keep you on your feet, standing tall in his bright presence, fresh and celebrating, to our one God, our only Saviour, through Jesus Christ, our Master, be glory, majesty, strength, and power before all time, now until the end of all time. Yes and amen. God bless you each.